This is Shippensburg 2014 with Brother Stephen Palmer's first class on listening for treasure.
Good morning, everybody. I think some of you are a bit tired. Up late last night for you. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. It's going to be an easy class, all right? Okay. So our subject is what? Help me out here. What's our subject? Where are we going to listen for it?
Bible.
Yeah, where in the Bible? This is about the first epistle of Peter, right? You want to open the first, your Bible's the first epistle. Can you get a while to get used to my voice? It's a bit croaky because I got a throat infection. Welcome, latecomers. Don't be embarrassed about coming into the class after it started. That's glad you're here. I'm sure there was a good reason. So you're looking at First Peter, right? So I'm doing Peter, the character study with the other group, and I thought we'd look at First Peter together during my classes. And I'm not going to give five or six talks. I'm going to ask you to do some digging yourselves, okay? That means that if you do want to go to sleep, there's nothing I can do about it. But if you want to participate, that's great. And it's going to be treasure hunting. So all my slides, which can't be shown, were to get you in the mood for treasure hunting. And if it works, we can come back to that, right? Yes. By the way, I'm from Wales. Any of you been to Wales? That man. How come? It was a trip. When did you go there? Did I meet you in Mumbles? I did, didn't I? Well, good man. It's a man of distinction. Okay. What do you think of Mumbles? Okay, good? Good, good. Excellent. So, I've been to Shippensburg twice before. I was young once, and I came when I was young with my family. And I came when I was a bit older, and now I'm very old. And I'm back again. So you get used to my voice because it's got a Welsh accent to it. Are you used to it yet? Okay, good. So what I want you to do is, with me, to look at First Peter and try and listen to what First Peter is saying. And it's a bit of Bible study. It's about personal discovery of the Word of God. Move it down. Okay. I'm too loud for you. That's a rare thing. Are we going to get online? No. Okay, we're not going to get on. Okay. So, let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's not an easy chapter, but I'm sure we can make inroads into it. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I think we'll read a verse each, shall we? That'll keep us awake, because it's hard to know where it'll go. So we'll start at the front. And we'll sort of wend our way around, okay? So we'll just, what versions have we got? Who's got the King James? Right, any other versions? Yeah? New King James?
English Standard?
RSV. Okay, they're all pretty similar, so you should be able to follow. So, Austin, will you start the first verse?
Yep.
And then, sorry, I can't see your name tag. Stephen, good name. And then Brianna, that's probably as much as I will remember today. Okay. Austin, Stephen, Brianna. Let's go.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia.
Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you.
who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials.
That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found with unto praise and honor in the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls.
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you.
Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow.
To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you, though those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into.
Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance.
But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct.
Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy.
And if ye call on the Father, whom without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear.
For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers.
But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you.
Who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God.
Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever.
For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away.
But the word of God, Lord, endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Okay, everyone, thank you. But that illustrates a very basic point. Did you follow that reading at all? Did you? Yeah? Got to be pretty good at concentrating if you followed that reading. Right? Reading the Bible is not easy. It's quite difficult, right? Not, I don't mean just to say the words and the long names, but actually to concentrate on when we do the readings in the house, you know, we read around. I always have to read the chapter again myself quickly to think what we've just read. Do you feel like that? So what's, I want you to do that. Now just read it to yourself. Read yourself, you read that chapter, because I want you to think about what it's saying, right? I don't mean to tell you, I want you to look at it and think, can I find any thoughts in that chapter, right? Can I make sense of what Peter's saying? Right? So just take 2 minutes to do that. Should we shut it down? Does it do that?
Can you try hitting play? I just want to see if. There we go.
Okay.
So then you should just be able to hit the.
Okay.
Right.
It's good.
I can dim the overhead lights a little
bit
for
a couple of minutes, yeah. Show me how to do it. Oh,
there's their own different like setting.
Okay.
So that one would be.
Okay.
I think that's too dark if you want to have them read. So it's either this.
Yeah.
Or. All on.
I'll put it on two just for 2 minutes, and then I'll come back and put the lights on.
All right.
Thanks. Okay, thanks everyone for helping there. Right, now then, because you've all got note paper, haven't you? You all got some note paper? You're still awake? You need a pencil? Anybody need a pencil, note paper? Okay. Right, so we are going to try during this session to understand First Peter, okay? And anybody want to venture what chapter 1 is about that we just read? Can you give me any idea about what this chapter is? Yeah?
He's addressing the Ephesians.
Right.
Verse 1.
Yeah, cool.
He's addressing the Ecclesias in verse 1.
Right. And how does he address them in verse 1? What are the ecclesias likened to? Okay. What are strangers scattered? What's the concept there?
So they've strayed from the truth, from God.
Well, interesting possibility. I don't think they've strayed because he's writing to them in quite positive terms. So what's the concept?
Yeah. Would it be that they're scattered from each other?
Yeah.
That like, because originally they're all in one nation, okay. In Israel, and they're kind of scattered about.
Okay,
in
so it's
now.
It's recalling that Israel are a scattered people. That's an interesting point. He's talking to ecclesias as if they were Jews. Mm-hmm. A lot of them probably are, but they're scattered, right? All across the world. So it's pretty like Christadelphians today, isn't it? Right? We're not all in one place. I've come from Wales. Wales is a long way away. You've come from all sorts of different places, some from Australia, you know. We're scattered. So it's an interesting concept. Yeah, good point. Any other points as we go through the chapter? Put your hand up, and I'll bring you the. Okay, you want to carry on?
The resurrection of the dead is okay. Brought up a lot.
The resurrection of the dead is mentioned a lot. Okay, can you point that out to us then?
So at the end, the whole idea of the grass withering away, talking about kind of like your terrestrial body withering away. Verse 24, for all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass, and the grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. So that's kind of talking about how the terrestrial body dies.
Right.
And then I think it was verse 3, towards the end, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, him being the firstborn. And there's others. I'm just trying to find.
Okay, stop there. That's so what? Sorry, I don't know your name.
Matt.
Okay. Anybody else going to say anything? Somebody. Yeah.
In verse 7, it talks about how the trial of your faith is more precious than gold.
Right. Okay. That's good. You can all see that. So what we've got so far is that he's writing to people who are scattered, right? They're conscious, or Peter's drawing attention to the frailty of our terrestrial body, we're human beings, right? We're going to die. And that's sad, but what are we looking for? Verse 3, the resurrection from the dead. And verse 4, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Now, what Matt's done, which I think is a really good point, right? He's connected verse 4 with verse 24. Now, there's 20 verses in between. But what the apostle is doing is developing a thought, isn't he? Right, so your point is, I hadn't seen that. Your point has framed a section of scripture. He says, look, here's the inheritance that fadeth not away. But you're going to fade away, except something in you is going to make you live forever. What's going to make him live forever? Have a look at verse 24 and 25. And I'll hand this to somebody at the back here who's going to answer it. This man is going to answer it. Okay. All right. That's a terrific point. Because what's going to last forever?
God's kingdom.
Now have a look at the chapter. What I'm trying to get you to do is cast your eyes on the page in front of you, right? And see and hear at the same time what Peter is trying to say, because I want to convince you that you can do this, right? That it's not just something that sort of flies over your head and somebody will shout something at you from the front and we'll get through it. Right? I want you to think you can look at the page and you can read and you can understand in your level of understanding some important points. Now, Matt's got me thinking, right? What lasts forever? Help him out. What lasts forever? What does the text say lasts forever? Somebody who hasn't spoken yet, over there. What verse is that? Verse 24. It's 25, isn't it? the word of the Lord endureth forever. Do you see the point? Now, what does that mean? Can you develop the argument, the thought there? Sorry, I don't know your name yet. Jacob, great name. Jacob, tell us, just develop that thought a bit. We are mortal creatures. We are fading away. Look, you're not, I am, right? When, at your age, it's well known that you believe you are immortal, right? it's a psychological phenomenon. Is anybody 18 here? Okay, 18-year-olds are the age of infantrymen in the army. They send 18-year-olds into battle. Why? Because they believe they're not going to get killed. Right? Once they get to 25, they start worrying. But infantrymen, the ones who go in the first line, are, you know, the older teenagers. Interesting point, actually. Because people feel lucky. They feel that they're going to survive. I just mentioned that because when I'm talking about, you know, we're mortal, it might seem pretty irrelevant to you. But you get a little bit older, it's not so irrelevant, right? Sorry. So that's the basic starting point, and they're under trial, aren't they? The point that has just been made, verse 7, there was a trial of faith. Life really difficult being a Christadelphian. Do you know, I'm going to ask you in a minute now to make the point, but I just want to say, do you know that there are Christadelphians in Pakistan? Did you know that? Did you know there are 1,000 Christadelphians in Pakistan? Do you know it's illegal for them, you know, not to be Muslim, right? And they're preaching the truth to their neighbors. Do you know one of them was shot dead for having a Christadelphian leaflet in his pocket? And that he was taken, I know about this because it's written in one of our magazines. He was taken to the court, and on his way to court, he was shot dead by somebody. One of us, you know, a couple of years ago. Some of them have had to flee to Sri Lanka. There's a group of 30 of them in Sri Lanka now. Do you know where Sri Lanka is? Who knows where Sri Lanka is? Yeah, where?
Right on the tip of India.
So they've had to go there, fleeing as refugees. Why? Because they're Christadelphians. Right? That we're so privileged, aren't we, in our country? We can believe what we want. We can say almost what we want. We can preach the truth and nobody arrests us. There are, at this time, in this world, now, today, Christadelphians, who fear for their lives because of their faith. That was the situation in Peter's day. All right? Think about that. Just think of the privilege that we have, which we take for granted. Right? It's shameful, really. But that's the situation now. So they knew that they were mortal. But what you're telling us is there's something that is going to last forever, which is?
The word of the Lord.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that? What does the passage say a bit more? See, when I'm asking you, I'm not asking you to make something up, right? I say with my own kids, you know, I always used to ask questions and do the readings. Do your family ask questions? All right? And I always used to say to them, what are you looking at the ceiling for? You know? I only ask them a question where the answer's in the text, right? So the practice is, now just look. We're looking at verse 25. How does this link to us, verse 25? This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Back up a bit. Look at verse 23. So here are mortal people who are withering like leaves, like weeds in the sun, like grass in the field, right? And what's going to happen is that immortal word of God has got to get into them somehow, right? So that's what he says. We've got to be born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible by the word of God. So if the word of God is in us, we've got something immortal in us. And I don't mean like an immortal soul. What I mean is that if we have that faith that the Lord Jesus Christ will recognize, he'll make us live forever. That's why these Pakistani brethren are willing to take the risk of being shot dead with a Christadelphian leaflet in their pocket. because they got the hope that they're going to live forever. That's faith. That's what Peter's talking. He's talking to people in that sort of situation. It's not some Bible school he's talking to. It's not some people, you know, sitting in mumbles in a nice cozy hall enjoying our time together. He's talking about people who could be dragged out of their houses at any time and taken off and beaten up at best and at worst just killed. That's who he's talking to. This is a matter of life and death. When he says, the word of the Lord endureth forever, that's what they're thinking. Now then, so we've gone from verse 20 to verse 4 to 24, right? And there's a lot in between. But one of the points is that if you stick in there as you read the chapter, it sort of starts to make sense. Now, it doesn't come easily to any of us, but you've made a point, which I think is a great point, which is that in verse 3, this living hope of resurrection. Verse 4, this inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, as is contrasted with things that do fade away. So can you see, is it the same word? Now, I can't tell you that because I hadn't noticed it in that way, right? Because in verse 24, it talks about the flower falleth away. Is that the same as fading away? Who's got a Strong's Concordance? Who's got access? Let's check that out, okay? So you can do that. I'm going to show you some slides in a minute, okay? Okay, you can give him that back. Thanks. Now, so good job. Well done. Now, so taking the fear factor away from some of you, right? I'm not going to ask you anything really hard, and I'm not going to pick on anybody, but Jacob was volunteering. So I'm going to look for volunteers to speak up eventually. So what are we doing now? We're just checking in verse 4 whether that word fading not away is linked in some way to verse 24, which talks about withering and falling away. Yeah?
Chapter 5, verse 4.
Chapter 5, verse 4. Ah. Fantastic. Okay. Say it again for the cameras.
Chapter 5, verse 4.
Do you want to read that out for us?
And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
Excellent. Right. So there's a theme, what we'd call a theme in Peter, about fading away, not fading away. All right?
There are different words.
Different words, okay. We'll check those out later on. So this is, I've got all the answers here. I've done a lot of work on 1 Peter, but I haven't got all the answers, all right? I'm just trying to. So let's show you what I was going to show you up here for a minute. Okay. Can you see the screen? Now, this was treasure found in a field in England, not far from Birmingham, if you know England at all, in Derbyshire, in a farmer's field. Do you know how it was discovered? It's gold, it's solid gold, right? It's not Derbyshire, Staffordshire, right? Guess how it was discovered?
Shepherd.
Nope, it wasn't a shepherd. How do people discover treasure in fields in 21st century? Yeah?
Metal
detector. A metal detector. This man was a metal detectorist. He got £1 million, $1.65 million for discovering what is officially called treasure trove. He doesn't get to keep it, but he gets half the value of it. And this is the best discovery of treasure. When were the Anglo-Saxons? Does anybody know? Approximately. Who were the Anglo-Saxons? Some of us here are Anglo-Saxon. What does that mean? We originate from?
France.
Right? Yeah, North Germany, basically. North of France, but the French come from the same place as well. Yeah.
So basically, the Netherlands and
lowlands, basically.
Yeah, that's right. So what happened was that the Romans withdrew from their provinces because they were under attack in the 400s, and Rome was going to fall, and that left a vacuum, and the Angles and the Saxons, Saxony is part of Germany, the Angles from Denmark, they came and invaded Britain, and the Welsh, I'm Welsh, were pushed back into Wales, and they became Angelanders, Englanders. That's where the word England comes from. So this horde goes back to 600 AD, in other words, 1400 years ago, right? Some ancient king lost his buckle for his sword. Now, this is what they said about it. It's the UK's largest haul of Anglo-Saxon treasure. Experts said the collection of 1,500 gold and silver pieces is unparalleled in size. And the man who found it was Terry Herbert. Terry Herbert. And he used a metal detector. And it is what metal detectorists dream of. Why am I showing you this? What does a metal detectorist do to detect metal?
Yeah. It basically uses magnets to kind of go, goes over the dirt and uses a magnet to pick up electric signals.
And how does he know the electric signals of picking up something?
It kind of like beep, 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 beep. Yeah.
He listens for treasure, right? That's the point I'm trying to make. He's got earphones on, and he sweeps over the soil, and he starts to dig. The way you find treasure is to listen. That's what I want to tell you about Scripture, because that's the analogy that I think Scripture draws. He says it's like finding a new gospel. Right? He came across it when he was looking into a field. He says, I don't know why I said it that day, but I think somebody was listening and directed me to it. It's a hugely important find. Nothing could have prepared me for it. It's absolutely phenomenal. This is hugely important, most important one I've dealt with. Right? That's what he found. Do you know what's written on it? Words from the Bible. Right? Here is gold treasure with the Bible written on it. The man who finds it says, I think somebody's directed me to find it. It's what metal detectors dream of. This is the most exciting thing. It's like finding a new gospel. Now look, that is what we should be like discovering the Word of God, right? That's what I'm trying to tell you. You tell a man in Pakistan, right? Now, he may die if he believes you. He may be put to death by the authorities. That you found the most exciting thing in the world, and it's worth dying for, because if you have this treasure, you can live forever. That's the level of excitement. Right? That's what we're trying to discover. And you can discover gold, faith. Now, what is chapter one? This is a golden faith in chapter one. I think Austin, you pointed us to that, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the verse?
Verse 7. It says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes.
Okay, the faith is more precious than this. This is the most fantastic thing a metal detectorist has ever imagined finding. Peter says faith's even more precious, and you find it the same way. You listen. You listen for the clicks, right? Now, forgive me for forgetting your name again, but Matt heard fading away. Now, you may not know he heard it, but in reading that chapter, he sort of picked up the sound of fading away, not fading away, right? And when he heard that, he went and looked at the verse again. Oh, I think I read that somewhere. And so we've got a seam of gold, because it is gold, isn't it? Right. Now, the point you make, right? I'm not saying everybody's equal able to hear at any given time because we're at different stages of development. But I'm sure that everyone in this room can hear something of enormous value in the Word of God. So my mission with you is not to tell you what's in 1 Peter, but to give you some encouragement to go and find what's in 1 Peter. Right? To dig yourself. Right? Not to be scared. No, it's not a competition. Nobody's going to check, give you a mark, right? It's not about that. It's not about whether you can find more than anybody else, right? It's not about that. It's not a competition. It's about whether you can find something. Like if I was doing a metal detector and I find a gold piece, I'd be amazed, wouldn't you? To find this scabbard of gold and 1,500 pieces of gold. But what would I do with it? What will I do with it? So you give me $1 million. What am I going to do with it? Leave the truth. It's a real problem, wouldn't that be? If suddenly you made me rich. So let's look at some passages now. Just make a note of these because I'm going to put the light on and then you won't be able to read them again. So just on your own notes, just make a note of those passages. What's that? Top two buttons, okay. Okay, so let's look at Proverbs chapter 2. Let's just look at Proverbs chapter 2, just to get the concept that, you know, what we call Bible study, I don't know about you, but I've always found that to be a term which, oh dear, study. And I think of study as being school and exams and here we come to Bible school and, you know, it's more study and, you know, I want to get off and play ball and I was always keen on, you know, playing ball. Concept's wrong. Bible treasure hunting is what we're talking about, right? Right? Because it really can make the difference between life and death. Right? Can make us rich before God. So I want to turn the concept around. It's not about study, you know. It's about discovering something exciting. Look what's going on in the world. Do you know about Russia? Do you know where Russia is? Do you know what's Russia doing? Russia's making its way down to the Middle East, isn't it? My son, Ben Palmer, who's 26, 28, and his wife, they're living in Israel now. They just moved to Israel to work. So getting news. So it makes it more real for me to think that Russia is very close. What's happening in Syria next door? Civil war in Syria, on the border of Israel. What's Iran thinking about? Go on, Dan.
Nuke
in who?
Israel.
I mean, all these things are going on now. It's amazing that we're living in these times. So this brother in Pakistan, your age, he says, this is amazing. Yeah, but, you know, if you take these things on, the authority, this is the truth. This is the truth. I'm going to share it. There's 1,000 Christadelphians in Pakistan I didn't know anything about. There's 40 ecclesias. I didn't know anything about it. I've read about it in the Bible Mystery magazine. Now, this is life and death. Exciting stuff. Okay, where was I? Proverbs chapter 2. So I'll read it for you, right? Save moving the microphone around. Verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou searchest for her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. It was a buckler that he found. That's what it's called. That's what the gold treasure was. And the scripture says God has hidden treasure in a field. Why has he done that? Why didn't he just leave it lying around? Why? It wants us to care about it. He says, I'm only going to let you get it if you're a metal detectorist. Right? If you've got your earphones tuned into the Word of God. Now, you all wear earphones, I suspect. Right? It's hard to see a young person walking around, don't mean here, Bible school, but outside of ours. We just spent 2 days in New York. That's enough. Everybody's walking around, you know. Like they all got the earphones in, but they're not, I suspect they're not listening for treasure, right? This is the concept. God does not want us to find it unless we want to find it. Okay? He's not going to make you find it. Sleep your way through if you want. That's fine. He's not going to make you. He's not going to hit you over the head with it. He says, it's buried. You've got to dig for it. If you don't want to dig for it, you don't deserve it. If you're not prepared to put some effort in, you're not going to find it. But I tell you, if you and I thought that there was $1 million worth of gold buried under one of these lawns outside, we might go off and borrow somebody's metal detector, mightn't we? Yeah? Probably come back in the middle of the night, you know, and work it over. That's what Proverbs chapter 2 is telling us. It's there if, verse 4, we search for her as for hid treasures. Now that becomes the basis of two parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are those parables? Where are they? Does your margin tell you where to go? I put it up on the screen. Can you see? Matthew chapter 13. Let's turn that up. Come on, guys. Matthew 13. We're nearly there. I don't know what time we're going to stop. Is it about now? Is it about now?
You have to pen for you.
I think there's a break, though, isn't there? Because, 10:40. Okay. Well, we'll stop on this. Let's just take you there. Look, I want you to put a cross-reference in your margin of your Bible if you haven't already got it, right? Put something in pencil or pen, up to you. But just Proverbs chapter 2, that verse that we looked at, right? Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4, I think it was. Put a cross-reference there to Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. And what does this say? Verse 44. Listen, look, you can hear the words of Proverbs 2, can't you? The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. Well, that's what we just read in Proverbs. Now, what's that called when you get this sort of thing happening? What's it called? It's a quote. What else do we say? Yeah, an echo. Echo, that's the word. Echo Lake, New Jersey. It's an echo, right? I just want you to think echo. I've heard these. This is the metal detector going, right? I've never heard a metal. I am imagining what it's like, right? I've never done metal detecting, right? I'm not an advocate of it, right? I see them on the beach by where we live, and they find old cans and pennies and things, right? But what you're listening now for is the word of God. So verse 44 says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, because it's precious, and for joy thereof he selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Now he says, there really is treasure in that field. I've got to buy that field. I sell up everything to buy the field. That's how important the treasure is to him. This is the gospel he's talking about. This is the word of God. This is eternal life. He wants an inheritance that won't fade away. What is it about gold? Yeah?
It never rusts.
It never rusts. It doesn't. But that's the point about gold, that you can pick it out of the soil 1,500 years after it was put there, and it's still sparkling. And you can go and see it in the British Museum. It's there in London, in the British Museum. And the man who discovered it, do you remember his name, anybody? Terry Herbert, okay. I keep forgetting. It doesn't matter to me what his name was. It's what he found. And the same for every one of us, right? It's not a competition, actually, between ourselves. It's a competition between this life or the next life. Now, I'm going to try and get you in this class. Speak to me in between times, because that'd be very nice, all right? I'm not so scary when you talk to me, right? Speak to me in between times. We're going to try and find some treasure. You've already found it. Matt's already given us a piece of treasure in this chapter, right? That's going to be yours. Nobody can take that away from you. You will always remember that. Put a little note against verse 4. Say, see verse 24. Put a little note against verse 24. Say, see verse 4. You will never, ever forget that point. That is yours. You shared it with the rest of us. We all have that treasure. Okay? I think that's probably where we are. Is that right? Time up? Yeah? Austin, is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. So, hope you have a good night's sleep tonight, guys, at the back there, and you'll join us tomorrow.